Well, good morning. It's great to have you here, and thank you so much for making Living Hope your place of worship this morning. Last week was Easter, and I gave a phenomenal message, three-hour message last week, and so if you're wondering where everybody is, they are actually out planting churches right now. All across the world and the globe. So if you're wondering about the numbers, sometimes that happens right after Easter. But no, we are glad that you're here. And, I want to share a message with you this morning that God laid on my heart that, we're going to go back to my series in the book of Acts. We've taken, I believe, about 5-6 weeks off and talking about the faith series and how to grow in your faith each and every single day with the Word of God and through your prayer life, but how even just the ordinary parts of our day, how it stretches us. I don't know if you know this or not, but not every day is perfect. And so there are storms that come, that blow in, and you're challenged with certain things in your life that is going to stretch your faith. God's been doing this from the very beginning of time. And he will continue to do this. And how we draw closer to him is sometimes through hardships and through turmoil and just through great experiences with fellow believers. And you know what? Even people that we interact with that are not believers, it will end up increasing and stretching your faith and what you really, truly want to abide in. And so this morning, if you would go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 15, and as we go through the book of Acts, I want you to be thinking about this verse that Jan shared. We always try to have a verse of the week that we're trying to memorize all the way from the children up to adulthood. And so I encourage you to go back to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 and try to keep that in your heart because this is a very, very moving verse. It will set you free very much so. As you're turning to Acts chapter 15, I wanted to just hearing this little story, and some of you might have actually heard it before, but there were two pastors that were on their way to Atlanta, Georgia, going south to this pastor conference. And one of them was from New York, and they have never been down south before. He's never been there before. And so they were staying at a hotel the night, and that morning they woke up before the conference. They had to go to this restaurant for breakfast. And while they were talking to each other, the waitress comes and brings the food out for the two individuals, for the pastor. And when the waitress brought out this man from New York's his waffles, he looked down and he asked, "What is the stuff next to my waffles?" And the waitress said, "Those are grits." And he said, "Well, ma'am, I didn't order any grits and I'm not paying for it." And she was looking at him and she said, "Well, sir, down here you don't order it and you don't pay for it, you just get it." And so this is a little bit about what we are going to be talking about in terms, and by the way, the story was funnier earlier this week in my head than it is probably right now, but no courtesy laughs. You'll get it later maybe, but the message basically is about the same thing, that we will end up not necessarily asking for grits, and we don't, may not want it, and we don't want to pay for it, but it also is a lot like grace. You may not ask for it. It may actually, even to some of you guys, grace may seem a little bit mushy. To some people, when you talk about the whole idea of what grace is and understanding how it works, sometimes we lose touch of that and we don't really even spend much time even trying to even consume it. We just look at it, we look past it, and we don't even want to accept this amazing free gift because of how it sounds or it's too good to be true. And so for me, if grace does not sound good to you, I want to take your portion. I will take triple portion because it's the greatest thing that you will ever receive in your life. I want you to think about anything that you have ever got in your life. Anything. Nothing will come close to it. But for some, it seems too mushy. For some, it just seems like it just doesn't belong in your life or on your plate to want to try to even consume it. And I'm going to be here to tell you today, hopefully when you leave hearing this message today, that you yourself will take a triple portion of what God has to offer in your particular life today. Acts chapter 15, 1 through 6. I want to be able to kind of take you where this ongoing faith, this whole idea of the apostles and Paul and many of these people are, they've already started the church, and you can go back to all the other chapters and look and see how the church has been growing each and every day, sharing this one true message about God's grace, His unconditional love, and how He has been changing and radically changing people's lives. And we're talking about not just a small group, we're talking about tens of thousands of people are hearing God's word for the first time, understanding how this whole idea of grace and grace alone and Christ alone is radically changing their life. And being in the church and dealing with Old Testament tradition and rules and rituals, and maybe some of you have gone, and I love it when Mike shares this, that maybe you drank from the same Kool-Aid that maybe some other pastor or some other churches or ways of living have told you that you got to live a certain way to add on to your salvation. I want you to understand today that it is Christ and Christ alone. It's not more than that. And many of you guys have come from places, or maybe you guys have heard, or maybe you've watched on TV evangelists, and they're driving up in their airplanes, or they're in their nice little whatevers and stuff, and they're telling you all these things you got to do to add on to your salvation. And I want you to see from the text as we approach that these men 2,000 years ago are dealing with the exact same thing. So in Acts chapter 15, let's get into God's word. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch. This is where the whole church, the foundation of the church, was beginning. This was the main place where everybody was branching out, was Antioch. And were teaching their brothers, these men, these Jewish men, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be what? Saved. Now think about that. Unless you are circumcised. Guys, be thinking about this. This brought Paul and Barnabas to their knees. That's my words. This brought Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute. This was not just a small little conversation. This was a heated debate, a heated, sharp, get to the point. I got a real problem with this here. And debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this question. They're not wasting any time. They want to go to the head council. They want to go to the top people who makes the decisions from Jewish customs to all over who and how they're going to actually lead this whole question about salvation. Now remember, we're talking about salvation here. The church sent them on the way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, basically places where you're considered a half-breed, you're not even considered a real person here, a half of a person, no good thing ever comes from Samaria. So imagine there's already a little bit of racism here. There's already a little bit of people that are not getting along. They believe that their customs, their ways of life is better than these people. So there's a little bit of problem here. And now how they told the Gentiles how have they been converted? And the news made all their brothers very glad. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them, basically sharing about God's grace and how all these people have been coming to know the Lord. Remember, tens of thousands of people. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey all the laws of Moses." And the apostles and the elders met to consider this question. I want you to think about this for a second. The blueprint of the Christian foundation, the blueprint, the main print, the main foundation of the gospel is Christ alone. That the cross, the why Jesus came and died on the cross was so that it would be our justification, so that it would be those who believe, who are born again, those who accepted Jesus Christ in their life. It was a done deal. And all these people, for the very first time, are hearing this and fall in love with Jesus Christ because this was it. There wasn't anything else they must have done. And so this was the blueprint that these apostles are coming and saying, there's nothing else. Now, there's a lot of times when I'm reading through my notes, and you know, I'll go through my notes, and I go through it, and I go through it, and it's all black and white and everything, and then all of a sudden, as I'm back there between 10 and 10:15, looking over stuff, I'm over there, and I'm drinking my coffee, and there are times when my final blueprint here gets a little stained. I will drink coffee, and I can probably count on all my fingers and all my toes how many times I have drooled or spilt coffee or something, or eating something back there, and I will get it all over my sermon. I'm not making this up. It happens all the time. And when I'm looking at my notes, I laugh about it because you can't see what I see. But I can see it. I can see that my blueprint, I can see even my Bible being chalked up with coffee stains and Cheetos and all the different things that I eat when I study and I drink and stuff. I get stuff all over my blueprint, all over my text. Why am I telling you this? It's because I believe each and every single one of you is a blueprint for the foundation. You are a testimony. You are a testimony for the gospel. You are the final copy, a work in progress, but a final copy that is going out sharing the gospel and the testimony to people. But the problem is there are also other people out there that is also Cheeto-stained, coffee-stained, that is also sharing the gospel. And I'll be honest with you, some of the church members, and we're not exempt. I'm going to tell you that right now in this church. We're not exempt. There are people in every single church that sometimes has traditions or works and sometimes false doctrines that is shared that is not accurate, that is not completely biblical. Sometimes we add on to the Word of God. Sometimes we look back at our old way of life, our traditions. Maybe the way that you're brought up and you said, well, this was the way that my mom and dad did it, and this is the way this happened, and this is what my pastor said, and so because of that, this is the way it always is. And so because of that, I'm not changing, and anyone that's not like me surely ain't holy enough, ain't good enough. And I'm going to be honest with you, churches are filled with this. Sometimes churches are not always in agreement, and we've talked about this before, the negotiables. And the non-negotiables. Think about some of your traditions. Think about some of the doctrines. Sometimes there are people in churches that can't even agree on the same potato salad. One likes mayonnaise, one likes mustard, and there will be a dispute within the church on how we make certain things. And guys, it goes a step further even in the actual church. Guys, there are people that criticize, there are people that have criticized me because I put water right here. I'm not kidding. A guy came, and I've told this before, where I had water right here on the top because I get thirsty. But now it's under here, so I don't want to offend this guy anymore. Now, he's never been back because that offended him. But in tradition, the way he was brought up is that you never put anything on the cross. Now, to me, it's a beautiful cross given to me by Jamie's grandfather, grandmother. But it is furniture. It's wood. And I would never want to do anything that would not bring about holiness. But it offended him because he was brought up in a certain way, certain rituals and certain traditions and certain things. And so he didn't like that. And now there are some that are non-negotiables. Let me give you a few non-negotiables here. First of all, Jesus' virgin birth, that's non-negotiable in doctrine. Jesus is the Son of God, that's non-negotiable. Jesus died for all, every single one of us. That's non-negotiable. Forgiving people is non-negotiable. Jesus being resurrected on the third day, that's non-negotiable, and so on and so forth. But let me give you some negotiables where ritualistic and things like what we just read about, where the Jewish were having problems. But let me give you some current ones, because you're wondering, I wonder if it still goes on, or is it just still just 2,000 years ago? Well, there are some negotiables. When Jesus is going to return, or how is he going to return? Pre-trib, post-trib, all these other different types of what people believe. Those are negotiables. I wish we were all that intelligent and we all had that understanding. But let me tell you something. If the greatest theologians in the world and scholars will debate that, so will we within the church. These are a negotiable thing that can bring about discussion and you can share. But until we know for sure, that's a negotiable. We all have our foundation in what we believe, but sometimes it can cause divisions within the churches, and it has, just on one thing. Certain spiritual gifts. Some believe all the spiritual gifts are there. Some believe only some of the spiritual gifts are still active today. Some believe that if you're not speaking in tongues and having the gift of prophecy, then you're not even filled with the Holy Spirit. That has created divisions within the church. Styles of music. If you don't like the way Sal sang that song earlier, there are people. Sometimes we'll get offended and say, well, I've always listened to this upbeat, and it should have been a lot faster. I ain't coming back to Living Hope. Some like pews. Some like chairs. Some hate the cafe. Some want the cafe to come a little bit bigger. Some think the way that we worship. Some is, if you move too much in the Baptist church, well, that's going to consider dancing, even though you're worshiping. I put a disco ball in the fellowship hall one time. That was fun. A great evangelist came in here and spoke and said, this is the first time I've ever been into a Baptist church. They had a disco ball. And I told him, I said, 13 people were saved. I said, I want to see how well you do today. That was at a lock-in. Our dress code. How are you dressing today? I won't look. Guys, there are so many verses, and heavy dispute was going on. This argument that had to be addressed. It had to be addressed. Because the Judaizers, these Jews that were these newborn Christians, and they were associated even with the Pharisees, and then they were going up and talking about the Gentiles, and they didn't want to mix with the Gentiles, but they didn't want to lose their Jewish customs and their traditions. So they had to make sure that they end up discussing this one important issue. So what was the problem? The Judaizers and the Pharisees, the people there, said it's not just believing in Christ, but you have to also be what? Circumcised. That's what it was. It's not just accepting Jesus Christ. And I talked about that last week, about believing and receiving the free gift of eternal life. But here, these Jews and these people are saying, no. And then you need to add, you must follow these laws and these rituals. And one of them was making sure that you were circumcised. And Paul and Barnabas are basically saying, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Paul's like, man, I understand what it's like to be a Jew. I mean, I was a Pharisee. I followed the rules and the traditions. I followed it every single day. And then all of a sudden, I'm going down this road to Damascus, and here, Jesus Christ says, why are you persecuting me? And he looks at me, and he blinds me. But you know what? For the first time, I don't just go from blind. I can actually see for the first time. I can actually see God's grace. His grace is coming upon me. And because of that, for the first time, I can actually see that it wasn't about my traditions and about my rituals and about my heritage and about my mom and my dad. It was about me and Jesus Christ. Where do I stand with that? And so even though he was blinded, it was really actually for him to see for the first time what it was like. And Paul's like, no, I know what it was like. Matter of fact, I was the king of the Jews in his way. I was the king of the Pharisees. But it's only grace. And that's what made me fall in love with him. That's what turned me to do a 180 and sell my soul and my life to Jesus Christ. And so this is what he's saying. And not only him, but all the other apostles are chiming in and saying, go get him. Peter's jumping in. James is jumping in. Barnabas is jumping in. They're all saying, it is Christ and Christ alone. There's nothing else. But these men from Judea, it's just hard for them. When you've been stuck with tradition for so long, you get stuck in a way that basically just stunts your growth. You can't grow spiritually following tradition. You can't grow spiritually. You can't increase your faith if you're looking at other people and you're not looking at yourself. If you're content with judging others because of how they're dressed or what they're doing or how they do this because they don't look like you and smell like you, it creates a stunt in your spiritual growth. And Paul and these disciples, they were risking their life. They were risking their lives for this one thing. You know, Paul was actually stoned. By God's grace, if we backed up one, you don't have to, but if we were to back up just in chapter 14, verse 9, he was sharing the gospel, and they took him out in the middle of the streets, and they stoned him. And somehow he survived and made it. Through God's grace. He needed a double helping of grace that day. And God spared his life so that he could continue going on. Paul and the others were preaching. You want to know what they were preaching? You want to know what got them stoned? Was this. Acts 13:39. If you backed up even one verse, it'll be up there. Acts 13:39 says, through him, who? Through who? Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes, listen to this, is set free from every sin. A justification you were not able to obtain under the what? The law of Moses. This is what they were preaching. This is why he got stoned. This is why they're getting thrown in jail. This is what's causing persecution. This is why so many people were accepting Jesus Christ because they heard this. Through him, through Jesus Christ, whoever believes is set free from every sin. Well, that sounds pretty good. Because I look at my life, and I'm a sinful guy. Anyone else out there? Amen. And so this is starting to sound pretty good. Keep going. A justification, okay, I'm justified, that you are not able to attain it under the law of Moses. And these men from Judea, they were teaching this false doctrine to the churches and to everybody out there. Some churches today preach that you must be baptized to be saved. Only if that man that was on the cross next to Jesus had time to get baptized. Surely today you will be with me in what? Paradise. He couldn't call on to them really quick. Hey, while you're crucified to me, if you wouldn't mind, get the toes and body, you know? He didn't have time to do that. That's not what saves you. Only if you have time to confess your sins to a priest or to a pastor. Because when you mess up in your day, if you don't give me a call sometime that day, if something was about to happen, you're going to have some problems. I'm sorry, I'm eating dinner right now. And by the way, who am I? Who am I to be able to cleanse you? There's only one holy person, and no priest and no pastor and no one that I've ever met in my whole life or ever will meet is ever holy enough to forgive you of your sins, to justify you. If you don't believe me, ask my parents and my wife. Some believers believe in purgatory, that if you pray your way out. Some believe that you got to add all these extra Bibles that they're producing and buy the millions of stuff out there, that you got to do this and do that and read that. Not just the Bible, but also read these other things as well. So it's a discussion that had to be resolved immediately. Have you ever resolved that in your heart right now? Have you ever got to the point where you just said, I got to discuss this with you, because what you're saying to me right now just doesn't seem like it's in here. It just doesn't seem like grace. It doesn't seem like the good grits. It doesn't seem like what I'm getting. It seems like it's a little off. And by the way, what you're offering me just sounds a little too mushy. It just doesn't seem like that's all it can be, because if that's truly all it can be, that seems like it just can't work. See, if Moses and Abraham and Adam of the Old Testament could not uphold the whole law, how would anyone else be able to? Let me take you to verse 10 and 11. Read this in chapter 15. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? Did y'all hear that? Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe that it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. Isn't that great? This was what was so attractive to these people. Now, I'm going to ruffle some feathers in here. I hope that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and ask for forgiveness now. How many of you guys have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Awesome. That's really awesome. Now, how many of you guys have been to church every single Sunday since then? I won't look. How many of you guys are wearing jeans right now? How many of you guys still have a flip phone? Just me and my dad. How many of you guys have an iPhone? When I'm done, and you hear about this grace, and you want to accept this grace, and you love it, before you leave, you need to put $100 on the altar for me. Seriously. $100. If you like what you're hearing so far about God's grace and that you can be set free, I want you to leave $100 on the altar. I will collect it and I will shop and I will go buy something to eat. I will do whatever I need to do with it, because I am giving you the greatest news in the world. Now, I'm adding to that, of course, but that's how ridiculous it sounds. If you feel like that wearing jeans is a burden, if you feel like using your flip phone still versus this, it's okay. Rituals and traditions will get us caught up in the most foolish things in the world. And this is how ridiculous it was to them. They're like, come on. It's fine, Jewish people. If you want to keep using the flip phone, use it. But don't tell me that I can't use my iPhone. I have freedom to get on the internet. I have freedom in Christ. I'm not going to get held up in your traditions. I'm not going to add on or take away because this is what you're used to. God has given me grace. He's given me freedom in Christ that if I want to wear jeans, I'm not going to get in trouble by it. If I spill spaghetti on my dress or coffee on it, well, I didn't have time to wash. It's okay to come into the church and worship the Lord Almighty. And I promise you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're good to go. Don't get held up on all the ritualistic type of things because they are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. Again, Acts 13, 39, through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification that you are not able to obtain the law from Moses. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, what Jan was reading, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. You didn't ask for it. But you're getting it. You may not want it, but you're going to get it anyway. And you can decide if you want to consume it, you want to eat it, you want to ask for triple helpings that day. But I encourage you to, because it is one of the greatest tastes in your mouth. It will set you free. And so many times people will hold on to these traditions, and I will tell you, it is really ruining people's lives. Now I'm going to tell you, God says, be holy, for I am holy. Does he want you to not sin? Of course. Does he want you to abuse your freedom in Christ and be able to sin on purpose? Absolutely not. That's just crazy. But we got to be looking at what the damage that we can cause. The judgment, hypocrisy. It's the gospel. What's changing people's life back then? Was it rituals? Was it the Mosaic laws? Or was it something else? It doesn't matter if you are a $3 million mansion walking around. If you look good, you smell good, you dress well, you have all the goods. If your foundation is cracked, if your ceiling is cracked, but mainly if your foundation is cracked, you're not sellable, period. I gave my future realtor a call yesterday. And Sherry Edelman, I asked her just a quick question. Hey, if your foundation is cracked and you can see the cracks in your ceilings and stuff, could you sell the house? And Sherry told me, and I quote, you have to fix it before a buyer can get financing. So if you're going to list it for sale, you must fix it first. You got to fix the foundation. Here's the problem. Every one of our foundations are already a little bit cracked. For me, we don't always, even though we may try to look like we're a $3 million mansion walking around and we have all this, but if people can still see that they got cracks down the sides because we all make mistakes, we all sin from time to time, then what we need is a gift of grace. We need a great engineer that can help lay the foundation and help reset it and make the foundation solid. Jesus said something about this in Matthew 7, 24. It says, if anyone listens to my teaching, not the Pharisees, not these Jewish people that were saying, it's more than that, but if anyone listens to my teaching and follows it, it is wise. Like a person who builds on solid rock, on a solid foundation. What is the solid foundation? What was the gospel? It is Christ and Christ alone. Period. It's not anything else. Because we all will have a little bit of cracks in us. And people are going to see that. But we got to make sure that our non-negotiables, the foundation of Jesus and Jesus alone, is solid rock. It's got to be solid rock. John 15 talks about how you need to be connected to the true vine. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will help you in your everyday walk to be able to bear fruit and much fruit in your life. And away from that vine and away from that foundation and away from Christ alone, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to bear fruit. And sometimes we look at people's life and say, I don't see the fruit in someone's life. I don't know in terms of what and how they are living their life. And sometimes you can tell. Do they really, truly, did they actually build their foundation on rock, on Jesus Christ alone? Do they really want to be on Pier Beam? Do they really want to be able to live for the Lord? Or are they just saying that and they're building their foundation on sand, where when the winds and the rain will actually flood it and destroy it because there is no foundation? And we can look at people's life and say, were you ever saved in the first place? Did you ever trust in God and God alone anyway? Because the fruit will tell. In John 15, you can read about that. You can go back to past sermons where I've shared this. You have to have this solid foundation in Christ. The moral Mosaic laws was the Ten Commandments. James 2:10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law yet just stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking them all. Nobody can keep all of it. Nobody can. Even their fathers could not keep the whole moral law and the Mosaic law. So, because you can't keep it, does that mean to go ahead and just keep sinning? Did you know that some people will take that freedom in Christ and they'll say, well, if I can't do nothing about it anyway, and God already forgave me, I mean, the cross is sufficient, we're good to go, I can live my life however I want to live my life. If I sin, I'm saved. Well, hold on. Romans 6:1. What shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Don't be stupid. Don't be foolish. That's not wisdom. Don't forget, he said, be holy for I am holy. Should we strive for holiness? Absolutely. But do I want you to worry about every little single thing that you've ever done in your past, present, and future, and be held in bondage? No. The cross has justified you. But should you keep on living a sinful life? Well, then you got to look at your foundation. You got to look first and say, well, am I even saved in the first place? Did Christ really make a difference in my life? Or was I just following traditions and thought, hey, it's Easter, why not? I'll just go up and get, this will look good. See, the cool thing about it is men look at the outer appearance, but God looks at the what? The what? The heart. Only God knows your true heart. I don't know your true heart. I don't know what your desires are each and every day. Jesus Christ, and I'm coming to an end here, guys. Jesus Christ had something to say about these ritual traditions, about circumcision. By the way, did you know in the Jewish law it wasn't just about being circumcised? Did you know that they had rigid purity and washings before they did certain things? Did you know that you couldn't even eat red meat? All you guys that loved medium rare steak, Justin? This is what Jesus Christ said, Matthew 15, 1-3. Listen to this. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break tradition of the elders? Now, remember, they're talking to the king of the Jews here. They do not wash their hands before they eat. Oh, say it's not so. Jesus replied, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your traditions? You hypocrites, Jesus says. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. That's Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees and about ritualistic traditions. If Jesus Christ has a problem with traditions and rituals and saying that there's more to him than Christ alone, he's got a problem about it. As a kid, we were growing up at a family's house, and we have a pretty good-sized driveway. And my mom and dad, they put up a basketball court. And it's, I don't even know how big, it's a pretty good-sized driveway. And we could play basketball and lots of things out there. And just a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden, as we got a little bit older, the basketball goal was still there, but my parents ended up building a pool also right behind it. And so when the pool went up, for safety reasons, because the people in the neighborhood and stuff, my dad ended up putting up a wrought iron fence. And the wrought iron fence was there to protect all around the pool. And the wrought iron fence also had lovely, beautiful black spikes that pointed up like this, about every couple of inches. Well, remember, the basketball court was still there. And a problem was, is that I really wasn't that good of a basketball player. So I want you to think about it. A basketball goal is there. A wrought iron fence is there with pointy little spikes, and I am not very good at basketball. When I missed, or anybody else missed, and we airballed it, which was often, sometimes we were fortunate enough and it would just go into the pool and I would have a wet ball. I'd open up the gate, go get the ball, come back out, bounce it a little bit, get the water off, and shoot some more. And sometimes I made the basket. Sometimes. But I have to be honest with you. I cannot tell you how many balls we popped because of the spikes and because of how many times we missed the mark. And then my father had a great idea. See, we also played tennis, and that was a safer bet than playing basketball anymore. We played tennis, and so we always had a lot of tennis balls left over. So what happened is my dad would make holes in all the tennis balls, and he placed them all along, as you can see right here, to protect the basketball from ever getting popped. Now, I'm not going to tell you we didn't miss and still throw it in the pool, but that was a lot better than getting it popped. And we did this, and we were able to continue playing the game for however long we wanted to. See, before, the game was over once you popped the ball. Are y'all with me, church? Jesus Christ and his Father provided tennis balls all along for you. And every time you airball it, every time you miss the mark, the game is not over. You keep playing. You keep playing the game that you love. You keep playing the game that God had set up for you from the very beginning of time. It's a beautiful game. It's the greatest game. It's the greatest life that you can play. See, so many of us, we feel like once we pop the ball that we just got to stop and we got to quit. You're protected. It's Christ alone. It's Christ alone. You want to use your flip phone? Use it. You want to use your iPhone? Use it. You want to wear jeans because you got spaghettis and coffee stains? You're good. For lunch, you want to have a medium rare steak? You're good. Though let's not get held up on rituals. It's Christ and Christ a what? Alone. Grace, how sweet the sound. I just want to close with this. Let the fruit in your life, the one that you're connected to the vine with, let that fruit, let that rain in your life. Let that fruit rain in your life. Let people see the testimony. Let people see that grace. Do we go on sinning just because we have grace? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So let them see the fruit of why you actually gave your life to Christ. Let's pray. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to understand, hopefully more clearly, that It is Christ and Christ alone. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has been held back on traditions or the way that they grew up, or even maybe at times in our life when we feel like we're a little bit self-righteous because people don't do it the way we do it, or say it the way we say it, or smell what we smell, and look the way we look, and practice the way that we practice. And I pray that, God, that we can just go to Scripture, because You are the true foundation. God, that we can look at not the Old Testament Mosaic law. Sure, we are to try to be holy, and we'll rest in that. But I pray that, God, that we don't get held up in bondage and just stop the game because we get popped and we don't feel like we measure up anymore to other people. For people are not our standard. You said our works are like filthy rags. You said not even one person has able to hold up all Your commandments. And so, Father, we come to You now, taking the mushy stuff. Not because we asked for it. Not because we can pay for it. But because You give it to us. And every single person gets it. And I thank You for that. Thank You for hand delivering it to us and putting it before us. Now I just pray that each one of us will taste it and be able to continue each and every day to ask for more. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.